Right. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm so excited for this episode of the Climate Action Homes podcast. And before we dive into the Denver real estate residential market trends, the quarterly report, I want to give you a quick overview. I'm Joan Gregerson. I'm a broker associate with Your Castle Realty in Denver, Colorado. And my focus is helping people make a positive environmental impact while they are going about making their real estate dreams come true. So whether that's buying or selling or investing. And so I'm excited to be able to do this. The three pillars that I focus on are people, planet, and prosperity. And prosperity is a big part of it. We want to make sure that the accumulation of wealth, the concentration of wealth, that we're working on the other end and making sure that it's not only billionaires who are able to get more prosperous, but that it's regular people like me and you that are able to make our real estate dreams come true. So one of the first things that is really good to know is what exactly is happening in this market. And it's a very different market than anything we've seen historically. So there's a lot to know. Before I dive into that, I want to let you know about some of the upcoming events. You can go to climateactionhomes.com/events and you'll be able to register for them there. And let me go ahead and share my screen. I usually don't use the screen that much, but this time, because we're doing, I'm going to be showing a lot of graphs. If you're listening to the podcast, you might want to see what these graphs look like. So you can head over to the website, climateactionhomes.com website, and get a hold of those. You can actually download the whole report. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive in. Bring my screen up here. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay, so I was just getting ready to tell you about some of the upcoming events. Let's see, here we go. So February 21st, we'll have Carrie Martin Haley, who is going to be actually giving us some demonstrations of some of the eco-friendly products she has in her online and in person, I guess that's brick and mortar location for Summit Sustainable Goods. February 28th, Chad Bergman with Movement Mortgage is going to be talking about what you need to know for buying a home in 2022. And also Chad is going to be back doing a few monthly series for us with us on all the buying, lending, financing, all that part of it. And that will be starting March 16th. Continuing on with our weekly podcast, March 7th, Erin Joy Murphy will be with us talking about regenerative landscape design. And March 14th, Paul Kreischer will be here talking about his series, Heart of a Building, which is on PBS, where you can see what some of these most innovative building designs are, including some right here in Colorado. Okay. All right. So we got that part all taken care of. And, you know, the way we have this set up is if you want to be part of the podcast audience, then just go to climateactionhomes.com and under events, you can find the link to register. And after you register, you'll be able to join us in our Zoom for the audience for the first part, and then stay on for our networking. So hope that you will do that. All right. So we're talking about the Denver quarterly report. And as I said before, I'm with Your Castle Real Estate. And Your Castle really prides itself on the data analytics and publishes these reports quarterly. So if this is something that you would like to get a hold of, then just let me know and I can email it to you very easily. So not only am I going to do the quarterly report, but I found there's actually at least five tidbits of good news for home buyers, even in this market. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. Okay, but some of the things that you probably have heard about is the historical context of months of inventory, which some people call MOI, which is lingo. You don't need that. But the idea is that I wanted to share this concept first before, because you've certainly heard that we have very low inventory, very few homes compared to the number of people that are looking to buy. So that's our inventory of homes. A really important thing to note is that if we had about 4 months of inventory, so that means everybody that's looking right now, it would take them about 4 months to use up that supply at this rate. If we had 4 months, it would be what we call a balanced market. So a balanced market means it's not really a seller's market. It's not really a buyer's market. Right now, we're in a seller's market because, you know, properties come on and they are very quickly picked up. So we'll look at the days on market. That's another chart soon. But, you know, we are in a seller's market right now, but to just let you know, like historically, you can see that a good amount of time it was a buyer's market. And right here in the, right before the crash of 2007, 2008, it was a balanced market for a good amount of that time and through that time. So that's why we are right now in a seller's market is because there is not much demand. And when you're thinking of all the other factors out there, inflation and home price changes and employment and all economy, all those things that can happen, if you focus only on supply and demand, that's the main thing that drives the prices. So stick with that. The other is really just kind of noise on that curve. So let's see here. As I said, there's a ton of detail in here. If you want this whole report, then just let me know. We've got the details here for homes as well as condos. And you can see that in the last year, that for both homes and condos, the price in the Denver market has increased by 14%. That's pretty wild compared to the average, which has been 6% per year. The months of inventory, as we said, have been fairly stable, but now it's even less. In January of 2022, it was only 0.2 months. We would hope for 4 months to make it if it was a stable market, but it's been 0.2 or 0.3. And let's see. So our inventory, yeah, I'll show you in some of the other graphs what that looks like. But right now, the inventory at the end of 2021, there were 712 homes and 436 condos. So part of my interpretation of this and part of my focus with Climate Action Homes is that we need to do things differently. And so I think one of the good tidbits of news is that some of the things that we've known all along that people with large, to everybody to have a large single family home, like that creates actually a lot of carbon footprint for transportation and sprawl and all kinds of things. So because of this pressure, there are some transformations happening in the market. So we'll talk about them a little bit later, but I consider that to be a good thing. Another thing is you might be wondering, okay, what about population growth? You know, are the prices going to fall? That's one question that everybody wants to know. Are we in a bubble? Because in different times in the past, we have been. But as you can see from this, that, you know, our inventory has, it was 20,000 homes back in 1985. And now we're at less than 1,000. So the inventory is extremely low. And at the same time, our population, so the population of Metro Denver, from the year 2000, it was 2.4 million, and now it's over 3.2 million. So, you know, that increasing pressure of increasing population with this low inventory is part of what is continuing to keep that those prices high. So, you know, are we in a bubble? Well, no, we're not. That is the analysis. I mean, nobody's predicting the future here. But based on what we're seeing here, so this is a number you can see in purple, this is the active number of listings. And you can see it goes up and down seasonally. So every springtime, we get more houses coming on the market, and then it drops back down over the fall and pops back up the next spring. But you'll see that with the number of listings continuing to drop and the price keeps going up. There's no really magic bullet that is going to get us right back up to that 20,000 homes, number of active listings that we had in 2009. So that's one reason that people say, you know, if you think that you're going to wait it out and get a better price, yeah, that's probably not going to be the case based on everything that we're seeing here. And let's see, this is just showing the home appreciation of 6% annually over the past 45 years in Denver. And interestingly, that condos actually didn't crash. Their prices didn't really crash very much during that 2008 recession compared to homes. But even so, I think we have another chart that shows what would happen even if you bought a home right before the crash and held it even for a few years. It ends up still being a decent investment. Okay, let's see. So this one is our end of month inventory. And again, you know, this is just kind of to all underscore to you that what we're in right now is a very unusual market, that for Metro Denver, with that increased population, that, you know, here was the number of 35,000 active listings back in 2007, and now we're down less than 1,000. Crazy. Let's see. I think that is just another way to look at that. I guess what this graph is showing right here is showing that in just looking at 2019, 2020, and 2021, that so 2019 being before the pandemic, that the inventory started at 6,000, it did its seasonal jump up to almost 10,000, and then back to about 5. And now in 2021, that is, we started just around 2,000. And ended around 2000 as well. The average for that entire, I don't know how many decades that they're saying, but we would expect, if it was an average year, we would be expecting 12,000 units of inventory, and we have less than 1,000. Okay. This is just talking about population growth in the Denver metro area. And according to the Census Bureau and the local economist Patty Silverstein, they expect the Metro Denver area to keep increasing by about 40,000 per year. That's a lot of people, not all just in Denver Metro. There is another little tidbit. I promised you there'd be some positive tidbits along the way here. And here's one, is that the housing starts are up. As this is nationally, so I don't have the numbers for just Denver. I'd like to get those at some point. But what this shows is you know, back in the 60s, there were 1.6 million, I believe I have the figures right. Yeah, 1.6 million housing starts per year. That jumped up in the 70s and, you know, kind of went up and down with some different recessions there. And starting in 1990, it was just steadily increasing pretty much year after year. And then in around 2007, 2008, with that crash, it dropped to almost nothing. And you can see now that it has been the amount. So starting from that almost nothing, like somewhere around maybe 0.6 million units per year, that it has been heading upwards. And there was a drastic crash in 2020, right after the pandemic started. You know, part of that was just everything got shut down, you know, in China and everywhere around the world. Things just, workers stopped, factories stopped. People weren't able to go out, earn money, lots of complications. So there was a significant drop. But the good news is that that number is starting to ramp up again. So housing starts are picking up. And, you know, I don't think that we can really build our way out of this thing, but it is good that a lot of the newer homes do tend to be more energy efficient. They're going to higher codes. And we'll be talking about some of those new homes that are available in the area on another episode. But, you know, I see this thing that we're not going to be able to just build our way out, but there are places to live. There's ways to do this. Some of those more innovative approaches that I mentioned, one of them is co-buying. And there is a group here in Denver that does a lot of that. We hope to have them on a podcast to tell us how are they doing co-buying. Others are doing house hacking. So that is buying a home and having some part of that home that you rent out. But, you know, that's great for providing more affordable spaces. So instead of just a single family home there, a single family living there, they're making space for two or more families or two or more people to add to those households. And I also think that with the work from home transition, that there's a lot of commercial spaces there, you know, that were once offices that there's some folks out there that are converting them to residences. So that innovation that probably needed to happen for a long time, a lot of that is starting to happen now. So we'll be bringing you more of those stories throughout the podcast in different episodes. Okay. So another thing I wanted to mention is inflation. So inflation is definitely a thing. I just saw a report today that the mountain states, the Western states, were getting hit harder than some of the other areas. But two things to know about inflation is, one is that the main thing to know about inflation is that one way to kind of hedge your investment is if you buy a home and there is inflation, home prices historically have done better than inflation. So it is a way to kind of hedge your bet and protect your investment. Here's another one on the bright spot for buyers. This very complicated table that I'm looking at, there's a couple hidden gems in there. You have definitely heard how, you know, you've probably heard at your office or I don't know if you have a water cooler anymore at the park, talking on Zoom to your friends and neighbors about people who have bought a home or sold a home and it was way above the list price. And what I wanted to let you know was that, yes, that's true. So if you look at this top chart here, you'll see that the top 25%. These are broken up into how close the home was to the last listing price. So the ones that sold for the highest 25% of those, the highest ones, they sold at a premium of 6.5%. So that's quite a bit. If we're talking about a $300,000 home, that would be about $20,000 for that 6.5% premium. But if you, and of course, you know, on a more expensive home, that number really jumps. So those are the stories that we've been hearing about. But what's interesting about this chart is this shows that 25% of the homes actually sold right at list price or at a discount. And so that holds true for homes as well as condos. So I don't want you to think that the only way that you're going to get a house is by bidding way above what the list price is. This is showing you that in 2021, that 25% of the homes were at list price or less. The next 25%, the premium was up to 2.1%. So again, let's say if we're talking about a $300,000 home, which there aren't a lot of, but as an easy number for me to think of. So that would be around $6,000, 2.1% premium for homes and less than 1% premium for condos. So that's showing you that 50% of the homes out there had 2% or less premium compared to their list price. So that is that's good news. That shows that, yes, there are some crazy ones out there where people are bidding against each other, but that is at least half the homes are really not going to be in that crazy range. Okay, the other thing is days on market. If we're looking at how many days, a quarter of the homes sold in 10 days or longer, a quarter was 5 to 9 days, another quarter sold in 4 days, another quarter in 3 days or less. So that days on market, that is a short number. I feel like there's a little bit of nuance in that though, because I think people are moving so fast that plenty of deals are falling out. Somewhere around 25, I think I have this graph, 25% of finance deals and 28% of cash deals actually fall out of contract. So this is another good tidbit for you as a buyer, that even if the seller has accepted an offer from someone else, then encourage your agent to go ahead and put that backup offer in, because you've got a 1 out of 4, maybe almost 1 out of 3 chance, I guess 1 out of 4, that offer may not go through. So so I just wanted to throw that in there, that yes, these days on market look very short. Another good tidbit here, especially for first-time home buyers, you might be going for a condo rather than a single family home. And the condos are staying on market a little bit longer, so more like 15 days compared to 10 days for the single family homes. So that just means, and even in some of the areas, like in some of the senior communities, it's even a little bit longer than that. So don't get too hyped up about, like, you have to move quicker than you really feel comfortable. It is a learning process, and you just want to work with someone who can help guide you through that process and help you not get discouraged. Because as you look at this next chart, which is days on market by quarter, you can see back in 2008, the number of days on market that was typical was 90 days on market in 2008. So the average house, you put your house for sale January 1st, you could expect to sell it by March 31st. So now it's down in that, you know, 10 or 12 day range. So, you know, it is an unusual market. But the other tidbit for buyers that I wanted to share is that I chose York Castle because it's the largest independently owned real estate brokerage in Colorado. And so I get to learn from lots of other agents that are out there. And just this week, I heard a story of someone who just helped a refugee family who had very little money and didn't speak English. She worked with an interpreter, and they were able to get them into a home. So, you know, there are ways to do it. And that's why you want to work with an agent, because there's programs out there, no matter what your situation is. And someone that is committed to helping you can figure out what your situation is and help you find a way to make that happen. Another story I heard was of a young couple who did that house hacking thing, and with $5,000 down, they were able to get a house. And that was somebody working with Chris Lopez's team, the Envision advisors, that's part of York Castle. So no matter which way you want to go, there is somebody out there that can help you. And I would love to be that person or help you find that person so that you can move forward. Okay, let's see here. The other thing that is getting people very excited, which, you know, and rightly so, but the average mortgage rates are rising. You know that. But what I want you to know is that they have risen a bit. But if you look on this graph, you will see that they have been rising, but they're still at or near the 50-year lows. So, I mean, I'm old enough that I've seen some of these other numbers where people were buying houses. Let's see, we bought a house in 88, I think was our first one, maybe 86, I guess. And the interest rate was 10%. And so, you know, these numbers that was up to 17% for a very short time in 1982. But, you know, down around 7-8% for many, many decades. So the fact that the average mortgage rate was 3.45% on January 13th, and that's up a little bit from a few months earlier, but it is still at or near 50-year lows. Okay. And so, you know, you might be also just wondering, like, well, what if, okay, Joan, you're saying the market's not going to crash, but how do you know? And yeah, the thing is, I don't know. I'm not making any guarantees of anything that would happen. And on this slide, I want to actually just kind of walk through more of a worst case scenario. So this slide shows, okay, what if you purchased a home for $305,000 in June 2007? Right before the worst housing recession in Denver. And if you held it for 5 years, you would actually be up by $10,000. If you held it for 8 years, which is the average, the national average, your home would be worth $423,000. So one thing I know from personal experience too, is that if you're not sure if you're going to stay in a home, like if you're just, you know, you might just be there for a year, then this might not be the time to buy. But if you are thinking, yeah, you know, I want to stay in this area, I want to hold on to the home for 5 or 10 years, then this kind of shows you that the longer that you hold on to it, the better some of those numbers can be. Or, you know, maybe you use your equity to buy another property. Kind of depending on what your goals are. And you know, just the, oh, I forgot. I don't know where the slide is. I thought I had it in here. I guess I didn't. There's another slide in there that shows that, yes, the housing prices are going up, but the rent prices are also. So if you are trying to decide whether you want to rent or buy, and you see the housing prices going up, you're not likely to be saving too much more by continuing to rent, because that's going up along with the housing prices. All right. Well, I think I'm going to stop there. And let's see, I'm going to stop the share right here. Okay. Yeah, I think the main thing that I wanted to let you know was that, you know, we have a lot of data. It's really exciting to be able to share this kind of detail with you. And there's way more information here than I can share in a short podcast. But you know, my engineering background, I'm kind of a geek, and it's pretty fun to actually dive in to the numbers to understand some of those subtleties. Yeah, so I think that is it for now. Remember about our upcoming events and feel free to register for any of those. Join me on Zoom during our interview part in the beginning, and then stay for networking afterwards. All right. So thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next week on our next podcast. And let's see here. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure this all out. So thank you so much for joining, and I look forward to seeing you next week. If you're interested in buying, selling, investing in Denver, then please reach out at climateactionhomes.com, and I would love to get a conversation started. All right, thanks. Have a great evening. Bye.